The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's January the 26th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the biofuels race is on and the ante is going up. There are calls in Washington for greater inclusion in the nation's fuel supply and more research. That'll take dollars. As it happens, the high prices for commodities like corn may free up a few sawbucks. The Congressional Budget Office is projecting subsidies to farmers over the next 10 years will fall by some $31 billion. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then we'll stay with the economic front. I'll tell you how farmers and others can use the Excel spreadsheets available at the FarmDoc website. It all happens on this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. At the Board of Trade, the nearby March contract in the wheat pit had a high of 470.5, a low at 462, a settlement price at 468.75, or rather a settlement price at 463.5, down 5.25. The high again 70.5 and the low at 62 even. May futures, a high price of 483.75, a low at 472, settlement price at 478, down 3.75. And July contract off 5.5 cents with a high price of 491.25 and a low at $4.84, settlement price there at 485. From the corn pit nearby, March contract, a 408.75 high, low at 402, settled at 405.5. They were off 1.5 cents. The May's were off 0.5 cents at 417.5, 419.75 the high, the low at 13.5. And the July futures were unchanged at 424 with a high of 26.5 and a low at 20. December corn, a high price of $4.5 today, a low at 395.75. They settled at 398.5, were down 0.75 for the day. From the soy complex, bean futures settlement prices like this, 710.5, they were off 2.75. In the March, the May contract at 726.25, down 2.25, and the July down 2.25 at 739.75. November beans, 763, were off 2.5 cents. Bean meal futures March contract, 205.80, down $2.40. The March bean oil off 8 cents at 29 even. From the Mercantile Exchange, March feeder cattle, 94.10 off 20. February live cattle off a dime at $90.22.5. And the April's at $93.57.5 were up 60 cents for the day. February lean hogs at $63.87.5, 52.5 cents higher on the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. It's good to be back in Urbana, Chuck, and I'm glad to talk with you this afternoon. Had a great time out on our Corn and Soybean Classic Series.
Sounds like you traveled well around this week, as well as we did, too. We traveled through Indiana and did quite a few meetings, so it'd be good to compare information, Todd.
Well, what did you hear?
Mostly, farmers are going to plant some more corn, but don't really see those big jumps over here in Indiana, Ohio that some are talking about in this market.
You have an idea, roughly speaking, what the jump might look like? Some were hoping for more than 10%, or thinking that at least.
I don't think so over here. There's some other reasons that we didn't get much tillage work done. And guys, really over here, we're not attracted to corn on corn as much as maybe Illinois, because it just doesn't work as well for us as it does for you guys. So Maybe not that high. Maybe, you know, 5 or 6% might be a better number.
5 or 6%. Indiana's number 5 corn producing state. Ohio is 7 or 8. I don't recall where they are exactly. Illinois, the number 2 corn producing state in the nation, following Iowa, of course. And I was in Mount Vernon and Collinsville in the southern part of the state, and Springfield and Bloomington in the central, and in DeKalb area near Malta and Moline in the northern end of the state over the last 2 weeks. And we were getting some really hard data out of about 500 to 600 farmers. I'm not sure exactly what the final number on the farmers were on our Corn and Soybean Classic series, which is sponsored by U of I Extension. We collected data directly from the producers about the number of acres they had, how it was changing from this year to last. And Gary Schnitke, who's an ag economist at the U of I, is compiling those yet. We'll see them on the FarmDoc website, I'm sure, in the next week in detail. We'll put them in a composite summary, I hope, this week in our newsletter. But early indications here are that farmers aren't as willing to move to corn as many had hoped either. The first 4 sites look like maybe about 6.7%. Springfield was the high site. We don't have a good figure on them. That was the first day we were collecting data, and I actually lost it. It was my fault, but we were able to backtrack into it. We had the summary, just not the data, and I think they're at 8.7 maybe. The northern part of the state doesn't appear that they're going to shift very much, but they're heavier in corn already. I'm guessing we're thinking maybe 7 or 8%. As a total here. We'll find out more this weekend, but that sure looks like there won't be enough acres to make a big push like many had thought. I think maybe there's some numbers out of the Congressional Budget Office this week, too. Is that right?
Yeah, we saw some numbers today. The Congressional Budget Office is formerly the Office of Management and Budget, and those numbers at $86.5 million with a 153 yield, and the carryover drops down to around under $700 million. So that kind of number, you know, is maybe more important to the trade as it looks ahead at what the USDA comes out with, because those two are kind of closely tied on what we spend in ag programs. And, you know, an interesting number, too, was their bean number. They got the bean acreage dropping down to 68.8, and with a 42 yield, that drops the carryover on beans to around $300 million. So both of those are fairly constructive numbers there, Todd, that might be surprising some that are looking for a lot bigger planted acres.
Just as a reminder, what we put in the ground last year for corn?
I think in the 78 million category, you know, 78.3 was last year. So, you know, it's still a big jump.
That's not corn number. It's 80, wasn't it, for corn? Or am I just not thinking right?
Looking here at the USDA 206-207, they're showing
78.3. Oh, okay.
So we're jumping up. You know, 8 million there. And there was another report out today from a farm magazine that did their own survey, and they showed a 10 million jump at 88.4. But again, you know, some of this data is being collected. It depends on your sources. And, you know, I think we got to look outside the center of the Corn Belt, maybe in, you know, Texas and down through there in the south. I also noticed this week that Texas is one of the bigger states with CRP acres coming out. So, you know, it kind of makes sense there if you're looking for CRP to come out. And Kansas had a lot coming out in North Dakota. So maybe it's not in our back door where the acres are going to come from, but certainly those aren't the best yielding corn states that are going to produce big yields.
Well, I think Daryl Good and I were having a discussion, and we thought Daryl was thinking there were, 12 million corn acres or something like that in Illinois. So we were at maybe 900,000 extra corn acres if the numbers we collected from the producers in the past 2 weeks were correct. That's not quite a million acres in the number 2 growing state. Man, coming up with 6 million out of the Midwest and seems like it would be pretty hard to do. And how could you hold up that kind of 153 across the United States if it's from the fringe areas? I just can't imagine that the hybrids can produce that kind of average yield nationwide.
And we got to look, too. I mean, it's always important, but guys, probably doubly so, of what kind of weather we have as we go through the summer, and that is going to be a real important to watch, you know, how the crop progress is going and, you know, what kind of weather, and it's going to be important. Maybe here we're having good weather in this part of the country, but again, maybe the West has problems or the South or whoever it may be, so it's not just the Corn Belt that they'll watch that weather closely.
Hmm. What'd you make of the trade this week?
Oh, kind of a consolidation mode. I think, you know, if it's a hurdle to get over that $4 level. We got above there. We stayed above there. I think think we're consolidating. I think as we look down the road, we saw what happened yesterday when there was just a tiny bit of positive potential bullish news that China was going to maybe renege on some of their sales, and we saw corn jump up 5 or 6. So it doesn't take much of a bullish spark to get us to move higher. I guess that's what we're kind of looking for as we go into the next week or so.
And for the bean market and the corn market, on the cash side, what are you telling producers?
We're continuing to make sales, but cover those sales with some call options. It's certainly, you know, a profitable levels here for farmers. It's more a matter, too, the practicality of when that farmer, you know, if this is the time of year he moves grain, it is good prices. And as we head towards spring, obviously, I think we're going to see some better basis and bids because as farmers go to the field, you know, historically the grain buyer struggles to get grain in. But, you know, if you don't have time to do it, then, you know, sell it now and buy it back.
Yeah, have you talked to elevators much about their basis and whether they consider it? How weak they consider it, because it sure looks like it's not. I mean, we've talked about weak basis, but the numbers may not appear to pan out that way. Or am I? Maybe I'm just not reading it right.
Well, I think what we're seeing is that beginning is just like if we have any new ethanol plants coming. If you're a commercial and you have a need to get grain, then you're going to push your bid. And once you get that, you know, immediate need fed, then you back your basis off. So I think one thing that's important for producers to do in the coming year is check out different locations. You know, if you've gone to one location consistently, it might pay this year to check out some of the competition to look for maybe a better basis.
That's interesting. And on that note, we'll hear about some Excel. I'm going to stick this in just because we'll hear about it a bit later, some Excel spreadsheets. And I don't recall in the story whether I mentioned it, but from the FarmDoc website, the farmers can download an Excel spreadsheet that will help them compare those bases and bid prices from elevators that are in their neighborhood. So if you visit FarmDoc and go into the Fast Tools section, you can find that. What did we hear in the livestock sector this week?
Well, we had the cattle on feed report, which came out with the biggest inventory on record of cattle on feed. And that's one thing I noticed about guys I talked to this week. The livestock industry were watching closely for liquidation, but this report showed the exact opposite is happening. So as long as the livestock herd is big and we continue to feed it, it's just another factor that says the corn market's supported. And if the exports stay good, those two guys are going to have to bid to get that corn bought.
It sure looks like they're going to stay put, so it should make for some interesting numbers as we head through the spring and the summer, I would think.
Yeah, it's just going to be a battle. The components we're watching, you know, for guys want to know if the market's all over with. As long as the exports stay good and the livestock industry continues to feed, we're going to use that corn up. And then on the back end, why the oat crop or the 07 crop remains firm is with the ethanol demand coming. Obviously, we know that's a big factor, so three components that are after our corn, and that's why acres and carry out is so important in coming up in 07.
We'll keep up with you folks at Risk Management Commodities every Friday afternoon. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Glad you're back home.
Yeah, me too. Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, filling in for Mike Zuzolo on this Friday afternoon. We hear from them each and every Friday.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
Well, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Solis says tonight across the two-state region, in the south, mostly clear skies, elsewhere increasing cloudiness with a chance for areas of patchy freezing drizzle, mainly overnight. Lows will range from 20 in far northwestern Illinois to 34 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, colder in the south, scattered showers, some light rain, mainly during the afternoon. Elsewhere, widely scattered flurries. Highs will range tomorrow from 24 in northwestern Illinois to 42 in southern Indiana. The extended forecast this weekend will begin with an extended stretch of colder conditions that will be felt in at least three waves. We'll hear more a bit later in the program. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, four Corn Belt senators, including Barack Obama of Illinois, held a news conference yesterday to highlight their Biofuels Security Act, which calls for 60 billion gallons of ethanol and biodiesel by 2030. The senators, Obama, Tom Harkin, Richard Lugar, and Byron Dorgan, say the bill has more mandates and incentives for ethanol than the proposal President Bush announced at his State of the Union address Tuesday evening. The president called for 35 billion gallons of alternative fuels by 2017. Harkin says it will take more than speeches to even reach the president's goal.
Well, this is a terrific goal, and it's an achievable goal if we make major new commitments of federal resources. For starters, we know we won't reach our objective with corn-based ethanol alone. There's simply not enough corn to do that. We need to rapidly develop and adopt technology to produce cellulose-based ethanol from corn stover, switchgrass, wood chips, and other forms of biomass. The same goes for other types of biofuels, such as biodiesel. All this is going to take a dramatic new investment in research and development, plus the right incentives.
The Biofuels Security Act bill would also require large oil companies to install E85 pumps and mandate gradual increase of flex fuel vehicles. And Harkin says he'll try to set new research goals in the 2007 Farm Bill.
We need research on better enzymes, for example. We need research on how you grow it, how you cut it, how you store it, how you transport it. There's a lot of things that need to be put into that to move us ahead on that pathway.
And Obama adds there is political will for the U.S. to become energy independent.
There are few challenges that are as great as this country's dependence on foreign oil. It threatens our economy, our national security, and our environment. And fortunately, we can now say that there are few issues where there should be as much bipartisan support as the desire to replace fuels with alternative biofuels like ethanol.
Lugar called for the Bush administration to provide the dollars necessary to make cellulosic ethanol commercially feasible.
Ultimately, we can only produce so much corn, so many soybeans in America, and that's why the cellulosic thing is critical. But it's been critical. Our Ag Committee has had hearings on this for the last 8 years, and yet the Ag budget is cut routinely in terms of basic research. Mm-hmm. Now that has to stop.
But it appears U.S. agriculture will have even less money to work with. The Congressional Budget Office has released its forecast of federal spending and receipts. As a result of record high prices for corn and other crops, the CBO is projecting a $31 billion decrease in spending on farm program subsidies over the next decade. The CBO's projection will likely make writing the 2007 Farm Bill even more difficult, as the estimate to be finalized in March sets the parameters for future program spending. The Japanese government has rejected a U.S. request for early talks about easing restrictions on U.S. beef imports. Japan's Vice Minister of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries says Japan's verification is not completed, including deliberations on the safety of current U.S. beef imports. Japan also says it must conduct an audit of American beef plants, study the results, and make the information available to the public before easing trade restrictions. Currently, Japan only allows boneless beef from cattle 20 months and younger from the U.S. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says it may be too optimistic to suggest talks in Switzerland this weekend will result in a breakthrough on jump-starting the Doha round of world trade talks.
I think this idea that somehow Davos is the place where there's going to be this breakthrough is unfair to all of the countries that are going to Davos. These issues are very technical, they're very difficult, and they won't lend themselves to a two-hour meeting in Davos in terms of a breakthrough sort of solution.
Johann's opinion is contrary to that of European Union Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson, who has said a deal to get the Doha round moving again could come at this weekend's meetings. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG www.farmdoc.org, on which, by the way, you'll find a link to the FarmDoc website and its fast tools section. It's continually updated, and it's easier to use. I've got more on the tools there you'll find in the Excel spreadsheets. There are 40 Excel spreadsheets in the University of Illinois stable of agricultural finance tools. Each offers farmers and agribusinesses a way to assess performance on the farm. Travis Farley is an Extension Fast Tools Specialist. He explains how the 40 spreadsheets are divided into 7 categories.
Well, we look at 7 categories of farm business analysis. We range from financial analysis to where we're looking at preparing financial statements, items you hand to your lender, to developing a cash flow plan. We also look at investment analysis, where we analyze making capital investments. You know, should you build that grain bin, or should you go out and buy that tract of land? Then we also have a grain management section, where we have a tool there that will help you track your grain inventories and literally manage every bushel of grain from yield to sale.
FAST stands for Farm Analysis Solutions Tools. It's a suite of Microsoft Excel spreadsheets designed to assist those in agriculture make better decisions via user-friendly computer programs. FAST aids users in performing financial analysis, assessing investment decisions, and evaluating the impacts of various management decisions, says Travis Farley.
In our risk management feature, we've added some crop insurance tools. So on the FarmDoc website, we have a crop insurance section that has some internet-based tools. Well, we've now converted all those into Microsoft Excel spreadsheets and included them on the FAST tools section. So rather than being required to go online to use some of these crop insurance tools, you can now download them.
Those who do will need a copy of the computer program Microsoft Excel version 97 or later for most of the tools. They'll all work on Excel 2000 or later. The spreadsheets are popular, with downloads through the end of 2005 approaching 20,000. The most often downloaded files include one analyzing whether or not it is financially worthwhile to build a grain bin for on-farm storage. The FAST Tools spreadsheets are located on the FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Time now for our daily look, or Friday look anyway, at the cash grain market. And Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Grain Co-op Elevator in Ludlow, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Farmers like that $4 December cash price that they are cash price, that $4 December CBOT price they saw earlier in the week?
That perked up a little bit into interest. We have been buying corn, more new crop than old. The old crop, I think right now, pretty much what needs to be done has done. What's left is in pretty tight hands and kind of waiting to see what happens in the summer as much as anything now. New crop, scale up sellers into that.
Tell me about your basis at this point. Do you consider it wider than usual, or are we still talking about not thinking about historically putting the premium for energy in that set?
Not to the extent that we have seen. Barge freight has come down. We've seen rail availability maybe a little bit more intermittent, but because the barge freight has been down to what I would call more historic type levels, that has kept a little bit of pressure up on the rail side. So not as bad a numbers. New crop basis, 19, 20, 21 under out there. And those are not bad numbers compared to what we've seen for the last couple of years.
And then as you take a look into next week, what are your expectations?
Choppy, nervous market, waiting for news. I mean, right now I think we've kind of taken this market and hit it over the head with everything we can throw at it, and it's kind of waiting for something new to latch on to. You know, feels a little tired and looking for something new right now. Basis-wise, bean basis, the The Gulf part feels weak. I don't know if they're anticipating a month or two down the road seeing some more South America coming off. Processor numbers, kind of a mixed bag. Some guys seem to be laying back. Some I'm hearing them perk their head up a little bit again. If the board's going to run on beans, I'm a little bit nervous on bean basis. So those are kind of two sides of the same coin. You got some people that are pretty bullish beans. If it does, I think that'll negatively impact basis.
And very quickly, your bids for the day?
We are at 387 at Paxton for January, 378 out on the new crop. Beans, 680 and 740.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the ag weather with Steve Hilberg, your regional newscast. That comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois Transportation Secretary Timothy Martin has resigned. Department of Transportation spokesman Matt Vanover says Martin will take a private sector job. Governor Rob Blagojevich says Highway Director Milton Cease will take over IDOT temporarily. Blagojevich praised Martin because there were fewer fatalities on highways in 2006 than in the past 80 years. But Martin's tenure was stormy. Blagojevich acknowledged more than a year ago that federal prosecutors subpoenaed hiring records from IDOT in an ongoing investigation into how state jobs are handed out. GOP House Minority Leader Tom Cross doesn't like the idea of boosting Illinois' income tax to raise money for the state, something the state's Senate's Democratic leader has said is up for discussion. But Cross said during WBBM's radio's Ad Issue program today that he's willing to discuss a gambling expansion to pay for capital projects like building roads and schools. Cross's comments come a week after Senate President Emil Jones said on the same radio program that everything from raising the income tax to expanding gambling are on the table to find money to pay for schools and expand state health care programs. A U.S. naval commander who defended a former employee of Osama bin Laden calls Guantanamo Bay a symbol of injustice that helps terrorist groups like al-Qaeda recruit. Lieutenant Charles Swift represents detainee Salim Ahmed Hamdan, who was among the first alleged terrorists from Afghanistan denied prisoner of war protections. That decision was reversed by the U.S. Supreme Court, which says it violated the Geneva Convention. Swift spoke at the U of I School of Law today. He says prisons should be a place where laws are enforced rather than avoided. Firefighters in Champaign are trying to find out what started a fire in a house on the city's northwest side. Nobody was at home when fire was discovered in the front of the house on Hedge Road this morning. Nobody was hurt. Peoria will get a visit from President Bush next week. The White House says the president will visit the Caterpillar headquarters Tuesday and speak to employees a day before he gives an annual State of the Economy address in New York. Exact details of the Illinois visit aren't expected to be made public until possibly after the weekend. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey, joins us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on a Friday afternoon. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It turned out to be kind of a nice day out there, 44 degrees, but it's going to get cold soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the last time we're going to see 44 degrees for a while now, at least a week or 10 days, maybe even longer. Looks like the first cold front in a series of a couple of them will come in overnight tonight and start to usher in the air. It will be colder tomorrow, not as cold as it will be, though, but by Sunday we'll be feeling the full brunt of it as temperatures will probably struggle to reach 20 in a lot of areas.
And then we'll have what maybe might be considered a bit of a warm-up, not as cold, and then she's going to really dunk us, apparently, by the following weekend.
There's going to be generally just a huge trough of low pressure over the eastern United States. Basically, that means we're in strong north to northwest flow aloft, and all that cold air up in the poles in Canada is going to come screaming southward. And it's going to be much below normal probably beginning Sunday and then continuing on for much of the next week to 10 days. There may be brief days, a day here or there where we warm up briefly ahead of a cold front. But generally, I don't think temperatures will stay below normal. Warming is going to be a relative term.
Yeah, warm comparatively speaking.
Yeah,
is what I meant.
And then Then along with each little surge of cold air will probably come a chance for some very light snow or flurries. No major snowstorms on the picture right now, but certainly maybe this weekend, again Tuesday and Thursday, we could see some light snow or flurries as these surges of cold air plunge into the Midwest and Illinois. So definitely a turn to winter-like conditions.
I know it's a long way out, 7 days out. Are we getting, or will we get even colder by the following weekend?
It's possible, yeah. In fact, it looks like there could be something a little bit more major toward the end of next week. But generally, I think it's just persistent cold, I think is the best way to put it. And we'll get some windy days as well, so it will feel a lot colder than we normally would think it would be. The next huge, next big surge looks maybe to be the beginning of the following week, but we're getting into fantasy land there, and we don't want to speculate too much. But the general trend is for cold weather. I wouldn't expect to see anything for the next 7 to 10 days.
Well, bundle up.
Okay.
Thanks much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey. Joins us on Friday afternoons here on AM 580. And that is today's closing market report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. We'll post it to our website at WILLAG.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. You have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, dedicated to enhancing the local Champaign community, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's 44 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Let's check in once again this Friday afternoon with Scott Moe of A.G. Edwards in Champaign. Scott, how are we going to end up the week on Wall Street?
Well, the Dow is lower, but the NASDAQ once again turned higher as the major averages find technical support on today's volatile trading. Volume is on the light side. With today's stronger-than-expected economic reports, hopes faded for the Federal Reserve's interest rate cut, and bond yields are near a multi-month